ma'am.
I beg your pardon?
That's what we're investigating, ma'am. The bodies are gone.
Pretty interesting, I guess. I paid attention at the time, but I forgot about it quickly because a day later, my best friend disappeared. Chapter 2. My name is Danielle Kraft. My friends call me Danny. And my best friend, the one who disappeared, is Jake Sawyer. Jake and I have always joked that we were twins. We were born on the same day, a little more than 16 years ago. I was born in Bridgewater, and Jake in Israel. His dad was there for 2 years studying ancient languages. Jake didn't remember the place. He was a baby when his parents moved to Bridgewater and his dad started teaching at Noble College. We started hanging out in sixth grade, when I was still taller than he was. Jake was a pudgy kid then, but cute, with wild black curls and glittery blue eyes you thought could almost glow in the dark. It was in sixth grade that we figured out we had the same birthday and that we were both only children. And we had something else in common, although to this day we haven't named it. It's like a special awareness of each other. We can always tell without talking how the other person is feeling. And when we do talk, we have to make an effort not to finish each other's sentences. By the time we got to high school, we might as well have been twins. We texted constantly and worked on school projects together whenever we could. We were both on our school's swim team. We both had other friends, but I don't know. Maybe for each other, we were the siblings we didn't have at home. Of course, we both got teased as we got older, as Jake got skinnier and gained 6 inches on me. Like my friend Alexa, for example, who's always raging, "Danny, you are so in denial. You guys are in love." I swear it's not like that, though. In some ways, it's almost like we're still sixth graders. We just like hanging out. We're easy together. In the mornings at school, we'd always hug the first time we saw each other, as if we were glad to see the other had made it through the night. In the summers, I didn't see Jake as often. We both had jobs, mine at the country club and his at the supermarket. But we phoned and texted. Either one of us could always tell you what the other's day had been like. Until the storm. When the power came back, I texted. I called. No answer. He wasn't online. At first, I was impatient, then worried. On the third day of nothing, I biked over to Jake's house across town. The family car was in the driveway, but the house looked as if no one lived there. No one answered the door, even though I practically banged it down. I looked in the windows. Nothing. I called the supermarket, and they said Jake hadn't been in since before the storm. But they hadn't been open. They were still cleaning up the mess. At some point then, I just started to lose it. How could he just disappear like that? I couldn't sleep at night. I started crying all the time. Every time my phone rang, I'd jump. Then I'd be annoyed with whoever was calling because it wasn't Jake. By the second week, in between my tears, I was angry. What kind of a friend would do this to me? The anger finally gave way to just a sick, sad feeling whenever I thought about him and the prospect of going through the rest of my life without any answers. Alexa was totally wrong. Jake and I were just friends, but my heart was breaking anyway. Then, on a Wednesday, more than 3 weeks after Jake vanished, I had a visitor. Chapter 3. That Wednesday, Mom and Dad had left for their annual week in Maine with a couple they'd known since college. So I was home alone that night when I heard the doorbell. Through the locked screen door, I faced a man on our porch. You know when your parents tell you not to talk to strangers? This guy looked like the strangers they have in mind. Tall, thin, dirty, with a stringy black beard and eyes that wouldn't stay still. Stained baggy jeans and a gray hoodie that matched his skin. When he spoke,